The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
Can we declare the word of understanding as we begin to study? One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is giving me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. That's your portion again today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As the word is coming forth, healing has come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Transformation, you are becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The temper that was disturbing you is going in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That impulsiveness. Some people, you give them, we know there are some stupid statements people make. Say, money no, they stay for hand. That's a negative confession. Your own money will stay in your hand.
Amen.
You will have self-control.
Amen.
There are people you can't give money. Say, please, let me give this person. You don't go completely reach there. It's Satan. What did I call it?
Satan.
Satan. There are people you give money. Say, okay, let me hold this 5,000 naira. When Okemute comes, give him 4,000. Give Felix 1,000. Tell them I said this. It no go complete. Well, they say, you know money doesn't it not stay for hand. And people say it as if it's a truism. It's life. Somebody owe you money. Say, please collect it today. You know, say money not stay for hand. That will not be your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will control your spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what the Bible means. Alright? Better is the one that can control his spirit than the one that takes a city. A monk can rule his spirit. What does it mean? Yes, this is what I want to eat, but I can't afford it, so I'm not eating. There are people who are going there, they are going to eat cold stone. And their life is just freezing away. Destiny is freezing because of ice cream. It's not the ice cream. It's the lack of self-control.
Yeah.
They sell you in a cup, your 1 week salary, and you collect it and eat it, and you think you will go far in life. People don't go far like that. Especially when one stupid small girl you are trying to pursue, you are trying to impress, is there with you. They take your 1 week salary, put it in 2 cups of ice cream. And they gave it to you, and you eat it. And you are wondering where your destiny is going. Tomorrow they say, war against destiny destroyer. Yeah, your own destiny destroyer. You don't know. It's a war against destiny destroyers. Yeah, your own destiny destroyer. Look, let me pray for you. Self-control is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, self-control is your portion. It's your portion. As the word is coming, it's making you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's making you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's making you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You can control your appetites. You can control your desires.
Amen.
You know how to wait. Yeah, ability to wait. That is coming to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are not impulsive. Many people are impulsive. You know, the Bible says that for a soul to be, he that hastens with his feet errs. For a soul to be without knowledge is not good. What does it mean? For people to just be impulsive without having enough understanding. Just in one business. This guy, after he started this business, he bought a car in 6 months. Then go and borrow money and start a business you don't even understand. Why? Because one man who you don't know what he does bought a car in 6 months. That's lack of self-control. As the word is coming forth, it's bringing self-control to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not jump because somebody else is going in one direction. You're following that direction. No, you will follow what God wants for your own life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Understanding is coming to you again today.
Amen.
The word will give you clarity. You know,
Amen.
We keep on saying you will not be confused.
Amen.
No, you will not be confused. It's making you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed.
Amen.
Don't sit down. Please open your Bible to the book of Psalms 37. Just quickly, let's read that one together. And when we finish reading it, you can sit down then. Please, everybody, let's read the word of God together. Self-control, your desire to sit down. Psalm 37. It has quite a number of verses. 40 verses precisely. I know what we're going to do. So as not to waste time, we'll read all of it. The Lord is good. Now let's do it like this. I will read verse 1, you read verse 2, in whichever version you have, and then we'll read verse 40 together. Occasionally we'll repeat one or the other. Now verse 1, it said, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers." Verse 2, "They will quickly wither like the grass and fade like the green herb." Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. For delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it." 6, "He will bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your judgment as a noonday." Verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes." 8, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. For evil doers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land." 10, "Yes, a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and will not be there." Verse 11, "But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. He plots against the righteous, and gnashes him at his teeth. The Lord laughs at him," that is the wicked, "for he sees his day coming. The wicked has drawn the sword and bent their bow, to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. This is the word of the Lord. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken." Verse 16, "Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked." Verse 17 says, "For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous." 18, "The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever." Verse 19 says, "They will not be ashamed in the time of evil," that is the blameless, "and in the days of famine they will have abundance. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, they vanish away." Verse 21 says, "The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives." 22, "For those blessed by him will inherit the land, and those caused by him will be cut off." Now, please, we'll continue in a moment, but I just want us to note these things as we are going on. He's giving certain crucial instructions here. Follow it as we are going. One, he said, "Don't disturb yourself because of those who are doing wrong and prospering apparently because of that." And he gives you their end. He said, "They will quickly wither like the grass." God, anytime he says, "Don't do this," look around. There is something else he's telling you to do. Always. Always, 100% of the times, if God says, "Don't do this," he will tell you what to do. And without doing what he says, you end up doing what he says you should not do. That's the way life is. You know, you have to be busy doing something. There's always, even when we say waiting for the Lord, waiting for the Lord is that you are doing something. That's just the way it is. It's what you are doing that is the issue now. Now, so when he says, "Don't fret," he's saying you must be busy trusting. And how do you trust? All right? You will see, you are dwelling in the land and cultivating something. You are cultivating faithfulness. A sign that you are trusting is that you are doing something in a particular way. Trust is not just I'm sitting there, I'm doing nothing. It's that, no, the work I'm giving, how do I know that I'm trusting God? I walk, even though my boss is not watching, I walk like the Lord is watching. That's a sign of faith. That is a sign of faith. You cannot be working for government, all right? You don't do your work, so you are believing God for prosperity. You are lying about it. You are lying about it. That you are believing God is shown by, all right, yes, I will do my things. I will not ask anybody for gratification. Are you getting my point? Nobody is coming. It's not my personal client. It's the client of the office. So he's not going to pay me anything. It's called cultivating faithfulness. You must be busy doing that. Otherwise, what you are doing is that you are walking the way of evil people. Trusting in the Lord. So God says that we've read this, I just wanted to revise it a bit, so as we continue reading, bear those things in mind. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. So we see that is a process of waiting patiently. Waiting doesn't mean I'm sleeping at home doing nothing. It means what I have been given to do, I am doing it and cycling it again and again and doing it better each time without trying to get away from that position. That's what it means to wait patiently for the Lord. He said, do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways and all of that. Don't let anger pursue you. Don't let forsake wrath. Don't let those things only lead to evil doing. He's been telling us. He said, but if you do all of these things as a humble, he said, what will happen is that you will inherit the land. That's what they call humility also. Verse 9 says, those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Verse 11 says, the humble will inherit the land and they will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. It will come. He said, but those who are wicked, who are going the opposite way, they will be plotting because Daniel in Babylon, you see the way it was. Daniel, his brothers, all of them were doing right. People plotted against them. He said, but this is the word of the Lord against those who are plotting against such people. They may have drawn their sword. They may have bent their bow. The Bible says that their intention is to cast down the afflicted and the needy against the people who are walking uprightness. He said, but this is God's word, verse 15. Their sword will enter into their own hearts and their bows will be broken. Everything they plotted against the man who is walking uprightness is to come against them. And the story is simple. You could see that in the life of Daniel. Everything they plotted against Daniel, it happened to them. They threw Daniel into the lion's den, nothing happened. They threw them into the lion's den, something happened. Are you getting my point? What they intended for Daniel was what came upon them. That, again, is a fulfillment of the word of God. I want us to understand something. If you want to know what life will be like, read the scriptures. Everything has been prophesied. The Bible says there is sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. In Christianity, sufferings always come first, then glories follow. And God doesn't bless people in a hurry. He doesn't do that. He anoints David. And David starts running around for the next 13 years before he becomes king in Israel. That's just the way it works. God doesn't bless people in a hurry. Somebody says, give us a special seed, tomorrow your life won't be the same again. You want to be deceived. Are you getting my point? You want to be deceived. He said, but the widow of Zarephath gave one offering. Listen, she did not get abundant breakthrough. She just managed throughout the famine. That's all that happened to her. Are you getting my point? God will sustain you in the time of affliction. But when we're talking about abundant prosperity, it takes time. The Lord builds it gradually and he expects people to learn to what? To wait. Everybody must learn to wait. That's the way. So I just want us to understand these things as we are reading it on. Now let's get down. And that says, I won't say that, discuss that in details. But the wicked, they have their own outcome. All of these things have been prophesied. And anytime you read the scriptures, bear it in mind. This is not just poetry. This is not just history. This is a prophecy concerning what is going on today. Do you get my point? That is, life has been mapped out. You just choose your own portion. If you want to go like the wicked, you know where you are going. But if you follow the way of humility, the way of patience, the way of righteousness, you are cultivating faithfulness, the Bible has also prophesied, as we can see here, where your life will end. All right? So that's what we'll be reading. Let's continue reading now. I'm going to read verse 23, right? And then we'll continue. It said, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Verse 24. When he falls, he will not be held headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Now, that means that sometimes the man will stumble, it will appear as he's falling. It's not a big deal. The Lord is holding his hand, and he will raise him up again. David said, I have been young, now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. 26. All day long, he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. That's true. Verse 27 says, depart from evil. Now, because you know this, that's what he said. We know the outcome of doing evil, and we know the outcome eventually of walking in righteousness. So he says in verse 27, depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. Verse 28, the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, and the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. Let's read 28 again. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. I like that. The Lord loves justice. The Lord loves what? Justice. He said he does not forsake his godly ones. You will never be forsaken in the name of Jesus. Amen. That is a matter of fact. Listen, in life, I said something on Saturday as we were closing. I said, this life is about enjoyment. What do I call it?
Enjoyment.
It's about enjoyment. Life is about enjoyment. It's what you enjoy that's not the difference. Some people think enjoyment is to sit down at the beer parlor after Asher will sit near them, and they'll be talking nonsense after they have drunk, and then they will now be discussing Ronaldo and Messi, and then they'll be laughing. They call it enjoyment. The Bible calls it foolishness. Are you getting my point?
Yeah,
the Bible calls it foolishness. What am I trying to say? Locate what is right and enjoy doing it. Make it, you know, just enjoy doing what is right. You know what the advantage of that? The day God will pour abundant blessing on you, you won't even, that is, they will say, oh, you waited for Isaac for 25 years, yeah? 25 years? Isaac, it took you so long to come. You wouldn't realize it because you were busy doing something. You were enjoying your life, you were enjoying, are you getting my point? Some people say, oh, this country is bad. It makes me laugh. Look, yesterday now, how many people have died now? 22, right? In London. And they are not fully died. They have not finished dying yet. Some are still. No, that's not supposed to be a joke. They are still in hospital. Usually when you carry 50 people to hospital, 2, 3, 4 will join those who have died already. So last time I read the news, there were 22 people. By this evening, there may be 23. I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that there is trouble everywhere. They said there's an average of one mass shooting every day in the United States. Average, daily. This was BBC report. On the average, there is one mass shooting a day in the United States. It's so common that it doesn't make the news. So if one white man takes a gun, shoots like 5 people, nobody reports it. If they are all white, no. They only report it if they are all black and is a white man. Or if it's a black man and shoots white people. Or if it's a Muslim and he shoots Americans. That's when it makes the news. But as when one man shot, like one black man in Michigan shoots 5 black men, it won't hit the news. Come on, now you'd be the first to kill 5 people. Yesterday, your mate killed 7. You know, it doesn't make the news. I'm going to say that there's trouble everywhere. There's trouble everywhere. So people say, look, just sometimes the fun is knowing how to, you know, survive the trouble. Are you getting my point? Sometimes if you tell a story, say, oh boy, there was a time I survived 1 month on 1-5. Say what? Yes, 1-5. I go buy plenty beans. See the way you're laughing. Are you getting my point? That is a fun in it. That's the fun in it. You know, you see people sit down abroad, they see that everything is quiet, everything is peaceful. Then they leave everything and come to Kenya to come and shoot lion. What does that tell you? All the quietness is now tiring. Meanwhile, the Maasai who is there doesn't understand what is exciting about shooting a lion. You are getting my point? In life, just make up your mind you want to enjoy yourself. No, are you getting my point?
Yes.
Make up your mind you want to enjoy yourself. One day trek to work. Just trek 5 kilometers. Leave your house by 6:30. Why are you trekking? Say, I'm broke. When you get there, you say, ah, now, wow, man, I trek 5. Ah, if they told me I could trek, I wouldn't have believed it. Then you laugh it over. But some people will sit down there and just be mind, what is wrong with me? My mates are not trekking. My mates are being carried by drones. Are you getting my point? You know, just create problems out of nothing. There is no problem. You know, sometimes you just, human beings just get up and create problems. What am I going to say? In life, just make up your mind, you will be happy.
Amen.
Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Make up your mind, you will be happy. It's a decision you make. Do you follow my point? That's why it is possible to dwell in the land, cultivate fruitfulness, and be enjoying it. Let's continue reading. What I'm saying is that, look, create habits, a good habit. Cultivate the habit of enjoying justice, of enjoying righteousness. Don't let the fact that I don't have money today disturb you at all. Alright? Which verse were we in? Yeah, we're reading that 28 again and again. So the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. You are preserved forever.
Amen.
You are one of his godly ones.
Yes.
Say after me, say
in the name of Jesus.
I'm one of his godly ones. And
I am preserved forever.
My descendants will not be cut off.
I
will inherit the land
and
dwell in it
forever.
I just read verse 9, but let me just read it so you can read 30. It said, the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Verse 30. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. Listen, last time we said something. You don't have an opinion. Amen?
Amen.
If you have an opinion here, shout amen. Good, I'm happy. Nobody has an opinion. We don't have an opinion. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Bible says the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom. That's the word of God. That's all we utter. We don't have our own opinion. We don't have our own opinion. It's people like that that inherit the land. His tongue speaks justice. We don't have our own opinion. The Bible says in verse 31, let me read that. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. Don't read 32 yet. I just want to emphasize something here. You notice that the law of your God is in your heart. For that reason, your step will not slip.
Amen.
You didn't say amen like you heard me.
Amen.
Your mouth will utter wisdom.
Amen.
And your tongue will speak justice.
Amen.
For that reason, you will inherit the land.
Amen.
And you will dwell in it forever.
Amen.
What's the portion of the wicked? Verse 32, read it please. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. Verse 33 says, the Lord will not leave him in his hand. Or let him be condemned when he's judged. Listen, the Lord will not leave you in the hand of the wicked.
Amen.
He will not leave you in the devil's hands.
Amen.
And you will not be condemned in the day of judgment.
Amen.
Verse 34, read it together. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. You know, I tell people, I've been saying it for a long time. They say, you know, there are different ways God does things. When they say you will live in houses you not build, there are many ways. A man will steal money one day, build a big house, and will be compelled to sell it for a quarter of the real price. And you will have the money to buy it.
Amen.
I say amen now.
Amen.
Am I not speaking something good? Now, what I want to say, it doesn't look nice, but it happens. One day a man will desperately need money. And he will sell a car that's worth 3 million naira to you for 1 million naira.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me just say something. It will happen.
Amen.
Actually, it's happening every day.
Yes.
Now, let me put it like this. Now, so life be. I'm not wishing anybody bad. It's like a man selling casket, say he shouldn't prosper. People go die. It's whether they will buy from him that's the issue. So don't say, this man, why should he sell casket? Is he saying people should die? People die whether you sell casket or you don't sell casket. It's whether they are buying from you that is the discussion. So if you are selling casket, you can still prosper. It doesn't mean you don't need mass disaster to prosper. You don't need it. People will die every day. That's what life be. In the same manner, some people are under God's judgment. There's nothing you can do about it. They will gather, God will determine to scatter. Pray from now to tomorrow. God said, if you like, if you pray the prayer. I wanted to scatter him in January. Because of your prayer, I'll leave it in June. If you pray more for him, I'll wait till December. If you continue praying, I'll send you on leave. So I can judge the man behind your back. But that guy, I'm judging him. That his car, the day he was buying it, I knew it was a thief. I'm going to collect it from him. Now because you're reluctant to say amen, I have dropped the price to 500,000. That is a matter of fact. Are you getting my point? That is how you live in houses you did not build. God will judge some people, and in the process, he will bless some people.
Amen.
Go and read that Psalm 75. He says he brings down one and he lifts up another. He didn't say he lifts up one and brings another. It's bring down one that is first. Some people are coming down. That is life for you. You will not be the one to come down.
Amen.
You have repented of all evil. God has forgiven you,
amen.
So you will not be cast down.
Amen.
But some people are coming down. But let me prophesy to you, you will be lifted.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now what am I saying? So he said, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off and selling their houses cheap and cars cheap, you will see it and buy your portion of it.
Amen.
One of our brothers sent me a message that day. He was laughing in the message. You know when the man is happy. He said, what you are saying is coming to pass in my life. Oh. I said, what happened? He said, my friends are running abroad and selling their property to me. Are you getting my point? Let me pray for you. At such times, God will give you means and you'll be ready.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are people here that God said, don't worry. I know everybody is doing giddy-giddy. I must build. You don't have to. Just relax. A time will come. You have three lined up in front of you. And you have enough money to buy all of them at the same time.
Amen.
You will buy three and dash out one.
Amen.
It will happen to somebody listening to me.
Amen.
This evening. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, God allows thieves to prosper sometimes because he said the time of collecting has not yet come. The promised land, God allowed sinners to flourish. Those who were committing iniquity, their crops were growing. Let me tell you something. Listen, when the people of Israel entered the land, they didn't meet a parched land, a useless land. They met a land that was fertile.
flowing with milk and with honey. When they saw the grapes, they needed to agree, is it really a grape? And one bunch of grapes, two men had to carry it. When you see one grape like this, almost the size of a man's fist. Yet, everybody in the land was a sinner, ready for a wipeout. That's what I mean when men don't repent sometimes. They invest money, it produces.
Yes.
Why would they repent? They didn't know. Look, if you're a sinner, you are prospering. Just know you are close to judgment. If you are not prospering, God is asking you for repentance. When God starts prospering you in iniquity, he has given up on you. He said, keep the land. Those who are blessed, they are coming. That was what happened to them. By the time the Israelites came, they wiped out everybody who was prospering. Sodom and Gomorrah was prospering so much that Lot ran there. Yet, you know what I see in Nigeria sometimes? If you get to Europe, everything is perfect. If you get to Europe, there is no problem. If you get to Europe, your life will be good. If you get to Europe, the roads are good. I say, you are... Oh, foolish Galatian. When you go to Lot, to Sodom, everything is perfect.
Yeah.
Everything was perfect until the day that fire and brimstone fell down. People think that the Bible said the things that are seen are not made of things that are visible. Everything was perfect until the day that fire and brimstone began to rain. There was no trouble. There was no warning. There was no bushfire. One of the most prosperous men in Sodom that time, I wasn't there, I'm just imagining, was the wicked man who was taking everybody's land. He was married to another man. And they say, what does God mean? We know how to arrange our country, can't you see? God said, you don't know. Look, there are two kinds of things God does to such people. One, some he wipes out, some he just removes and replaces them. There are many people that are building businesses. God said, don't worry. Just keep building. I will dispossess you one day and give you to the person that's pleasing in my sight. That is a matter of fact. Let me read the word of God to you again. You will live in houses you did not build.
Amen.
Before I finish reading, I want to notice something. For those who qualify, is verse 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. That's what it says. Two things. One, wait. And two, keep his way. Those are the requirements. This is what I was saying, verse 35. I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Is that not what we're saying? Said, then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. You know what it means? If you look at it deeper, his children were not even there to inherit. That's what they were saying. He said, but mark the blameless man and behold the upright. For the man of peace will have a posterity. Can you see what he's saying there? He said, but transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble.
Amen.
Let's read verse 40 together, everybody.
The Lord helps them and delivers them.
He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Please begin to give the Lord thanks because he delivers you. Now utter those words of the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, you are my salvation. He says, the Lord is the salvation of the righteous. Say, Lord, you are my salvation. He says, he's their strength in time of trouble. Say, Lord, in time of trouble, you are my strength. In the time of lack, you are my strength. In the time of affliction, you are my strength. No matter what's going on outside, you are my strength. Say it, Europe is not my strength. No country is my strength. A job is not my strength. Connection is not my strength. The knowledge I have is not my strength. The money I have is not my strength. Say to the Lord, you are my strength in the time of trouble. My savings will not deliver me. My savings will not deliver me. To not deliver my children. You are my strength. You are my strength in the time of trouble. You are the one that helps me. He says in verse 40, the Lord helps them and delivers them. Lord, you are my deliverer. I am delivered. Declare it, I am delivered. You are my deliverer. Lord, I am delivered. I am helped. I am not without help. I am helped. Because the Lord is my deliverer. He delivers me because I take refuge in him. Declare that, declare that, declare it. It's very important. That is prayer. That is prayer. Prayer is not something we think of.
Prayer is what he has thought of. Prayer is not what we think of. His prayer is the thing that he has thought of. He has said he will be your deliverer. That is prayer. That is prayer. Just give the Lord thanks again. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Congratulate somebody on your left and your right as you take your seat. Tell the person you are delivered of the Lord. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your helper. Tell somebody the Lord is your helper. You are not alone. The Lord is with you. He is helping you. Yes, he's helping you. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's just take a few more minutes. Just share a few things and then we close. Let's go home and go and continue praying. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. There's something I've been saying for some time. Let me just add to it, and which is the reason why these days I take the book of Psalms. It's a very good one. It's, in Israel, that was their prayer book. I've said this again and again. Let's go over it again. Faith is the basis upon which you receive from the Lord. We have been saying that again and again. So it's important for us to know how to have strong faith. How do we have strong faith? The only way we can have faith that is strong is for us to understand that that faith comes out of God. So we have to be where we can receive it. And what I've been trying to explain by that is this. There is no desire, there is no prayer we want to pray that we can hold on in faith if we don't have a foundation of the Word of God. Faith and prayer must be ignited by God's Word. It's not just what I desire. And that's the mistake we make a lot of times. We think we focus on desire. So anything you desire. So just want to desire anything. Don't ever forget it. God gives checks and balances. Alright? For example, he tells them, forget the word covet for a moment. Let's look at the simple word. He tells them you cannot desire some that belongs to your neighbor. Now, it becomes covet when it belongs to somebody else. If it doesn't belong to anybody, it is desire. But it's covet when it belongs to somebody and you are scheming to get it. What I'm trying to say is that it's not just anything you desire. Desire is controlled. Desire is limited. It has limits. God gives limits to what we call desire. And now, so, when he tells the people of Israel, you are going into a land, now he tells them, if you get the land of the Edomites, don't even want it. I will not give it to you. It belongs to your brother Esau, his descendants. You get to the land of the Ammonites, don't want it. These are descendants of Lot. You get to Mount Seir, don't want their land. Okay, but you get into the promised land. There you find the Hittites, you will find the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites. You find all of those people. Then you can desire their land. You can go out and go and get it. Why is that one not covetousness? But it belongs to somebody. Does it not? But that one is not covetousness because God said, I have given it to you. Why? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So it's only the one I have given to somebody else you cannot collect. This one I have given to you. So prayer, therefore, is what God says I have given to you. That is what you start claiming. That's what I mean. It's what he has given. So faith cannot be strong unless we see from scriptures what he has given. Faith cannot be strong unless you see demonstrated from scriptures what he has given. I can't say this enough, even though I appear as if I'm repeating myself again and again. That's why when you want to make a request, try and limit it, okay? Try and make sure it's just what God says he has given. For example, he has never promised you $1 million. He has never promised that. But he has promised, this is what you find in the word, that we supply all your needs. Are you getting my point? So even though you perceive that the needs is equivalent to $1 million today, don't worry about $1 million. Just take the scripture that says he has supplied all your needs. Because sometimes it's not $1 million you need 5. You just don't realize it. Sometimes you don't even need it at all. You need nothing. It's a misconstrued need. If you look closer, you'll have realized that you needed nothing. Okay? There are people who are praying, God, give me a car. God say, I won't give you. Why? You don't need it. It won't do you good. It will just sap the little money you have now for maintenance. So, Lord, what should I do? He said, make all the keke drivers in town your personal driver. At the end of the day, you want to go out, stay on the road, and call one of them. And they will deliver you to where you are going safely.
and I will be with you. I will protect thee. I will be thy guide. No glory shall jam both of you. Are you getting my point? And God said, a time will now come and say, no, you have gone beyond that level. Many times you reach a level that you don't even know you have reached. God will by himself carry you from that level and put you somewhere else. By himself. But what you hold on all this while to is the word that says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. You tell you, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You hold on to that word. Those that seek the Lord will not lack anything good. You hold on to that word. If any physical need appears like it wants to attach to itself to you, just mention it to the Lord in prayer and then leave it there with thanksgiving. Lord, what are you thanking God for? Not that that need itself is met, but that his word is true and he is faithful. That is when we now say in English language, every disappointment is a blessing. It happens sometimes, the thing you thought you needed, you don't get it. For that reason, you look in the other direction and finally see what God kept there for you. That is why I'm just digress more. Don't ever pray that a particular woman will marry you. I don't know why I'm saying it. One or two people here, they have that prayer point. They've been hiring Sister Angela. And they have been claiming her in Jesus' name. You can't do that. Why are they laughing? It's not true. Say, but Pastor, I like her. I didn't say you don't. Did I say so? I didn't say you don't like her. I just said that you can't ask God for her. You can't. You can just, like you have told me now, that you like her. You can also tell the Lord. Then what you want to claim, that's sometimes, that's why, you know, faith will not falter if it is on a solid foundation. It's when the foundation is wrong that the faith starts faltering, you know, going to the left, going to the right. You like Sister Angela? Yes, mention it to the Lord. Then when you want to claim by faith, you claim simply. You said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Therefore, I will make him a help that is suited, fitted, proper for him. I ask you for that, and I claim it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, I was just telling you I like Sister Angela, by the way. You just said that one in passing. You know, he didn't attach faith to that one. It's for his information. And you know what I found out? 70% of the times, it doesn't agree. 70% of the time, you go and propose to Sister Angela, and she will say, no. Don't pray about it. What did I say? These men don't like this that I'm saying today. Am I hitting some bad areas? You can cry over it. I didn't say don't cry. Okay. Cry over it. What did I say? Cry over it. But don't pray about it. Tonga said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as I begin to talk to her, she'll be changing her mind. In Jesus' name, she will change her mind. No. That prayer is not of faith. For that reason, it cannot work. And I don't need to tell you the other side of it. What I mean by, do I need to tell you that if a woman to don't believe God for that brother, he will propose to me? I don't need to say that. Do I need to say it? Okay, I should just say it. All right. I've said it now already. The Lord is good. Now what am I going to say? I'm just trying to emphasize it again. So that is how faith comes. Faith comes only when prayer is based upon the word of God. I was saying something about the book of Psalms. You know, when you read through it, there's something I've taught here before, that when you see requests made in the book of Psalms, these are actually the prayers of the Lord Jesus. They call them Messianic Psalms. When you see a lot of requests being made, when he said, let me not be ashamed, don't let my enemies triumph over me. That's Jesus praying to the Father. The Bible says in the days of his flesh, he cried to the one that was able to save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared. Now what I want to bring out is that these prayers are there, okay? And the Lord God has answered them already. Are you following what I'm saying here? He has answered them already. And the Bible says, now, that answer is part of the package that is called Christ. That is part of the package that is called Christ. The fact that God has answered these prayers. If you find any prayer inside the book of Psalms like that, God has actually answered it for Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? And he has bundled it and given it to you. I don't have time to explain that in details, but that is a matter of fact. So if you see anything that is prayed about there, a request that is made, you can just simply claim it. Why? Because Jesus has prayed that prayer. And actually, we'll talk about it again on Saturday when we're teaching. He's still, those prayers are rising up again before the Father from his mouth on your behalf. And God answers him every time. So if you see any prayer that is inside there, what you are doing actually is that you are claiming what the Lord Jesus has spoken on your behalf. The prayer is not a new warfare now that we are trying to fight. No, it is Jesus has gone a particular way and we are just walking in his steps. That is why there is no need to cook up any new words in prayer. There's no need. Just take your Bible, read through it. If you find anything that addresses a particular situation, that's your prayer. Do you get what I'm saying here? Let's get practical a bit. I'm broke. I don't have money. I've not eaten well for the last 1 week. Instead of start praying, in fact, Jesus said, look, don't come to God and say, Lord, I need bread. I need bread. Just carry Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That is a prayer. It has been answered. I said something last time. I need to repeat it again. The fact that you are not experiencing something now that is promised in the word of God does not mean it's not promised. It just means you are under attack. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say here. Yes, it is possible for God to give you something that is not yet in your hands. It is very possible. Now, the emphasis, therefore, is that what are you supposed to do as a believer? What prayer is for is to reinforce or to, that's a better word, to enforce that which is yours already. And you can never know that which is yours already except you are conversant with the word of God. Do you get what I'm going to emphasize here? You can't know that. I said this before, you know, because one of the things that God is doing is that he's describing himself in our lives. One of the major problems, and this is a matter of fact, generally Christians don't believe. People don't believe. The amount of faith in the atmosphere is very low. That is why God does not do too many things for us. Not because he can't, but because he said, if I come, will I find faith upon the earth? That is, faith is required before God can do something for people. The fact is, this is where I'm going, all right? Look at now the message, things are hard, you know, country is difficult, there's no job and all of that. Now, this is the problem with people a lot of times. So what do we do? We now say, all right, I need a visa, I need to get to where there are jobs. Now, by doing that, we have forgotten that the Bible says that you will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, that you will bring forth your fruits in your season, and with whatever you do, you will prosper. That is, even though it's dry around, it's not supposed to apply to you. Now, this is what happens. Now, if you don't realize that, you know, people spend a lot of energy now praying prayers that's not allowing God to demonstrate himself. What do I mean? So, Lord, you know what you're going to do? You're going to give me a visa to get out of here and get to where things are easy. Now, let me say another thing to you. Many times you pray such prayers and he grants them. God sometimes answers prayers that are not his perfect will. You know that? Yeah, he does. He does. And Christians will come and testify how I got a visa and I left and I went to a place where things were okay. But do you know, sometimes God says, you know what I really wanted to do? I wanted you to stay in the land, plant your seed in there. I will pour water upon the seed that you have planted, and I will cause you to flourish and multiply so much that because of you, other people will have food to eat in that area. I can do both of them. Which one do you want? That's what he's saying. But one of them is tenfold. One of them is a hundredfold. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Listen, what the problem is that Christians, people generally, we don't have faith. We don't have faith. We don't. That is a major problem. Let me not even focus on the problem. Let me focus on what all of us are supposed to do. What we need to do is to build up that faith so that God can do wondrous things in our lives. That's what I'm trying to teach. We need to build that faith. He said, ask of me and I will give you what? The nations as your inheritance. I will give you the ends of the earth as your possession. What that means is that if things are tough, I'm supposed to ask the Lord, say, okay, I can't get a job. I've been looking for one. Lord, thank you for the idea of jobs. I will get one if I can, but I want to switch my prayer. Like I said, prayer is not what I want. Prayer is what I have discovered from the word of God, which I'm creating, I'm making my own desires also. So for a long time, I have been praying, Lord, get me a job, get me a job. And this is a commandment to many people here this evening. I switch the prayer, say, Lord, thank you very much. I know you have helped me concerning a job, but can I ask for something else? I want to be able to give at least 50 people jobs. I said something last week that you need to build your faith to a level where when you tell people what you're asking God for, they will think you are crazy. I don't know whether you're getting my point.
Yes, that is, they will think something is wrong with you. You and your friends are sitting down. You left school maybe about 4 years ago. You finished NYC like 3 years ago, and nothing serious has happened. And I say, well, what's happening now? Somebody says, I just applied for a job, and I planted a special seed, and I'm believing God that I'm going to get it. So what about you? So, boy, I don't pray for a job for the last 2 years. I'm tired of praying. So you don't believe God will do it? No. I've decided that since he doesn't want to do that one, let's find something else for him to do. Like what? I have prayed that I will be able to employ 50 people. Please, assume you have 4 friends. And you are sitting down. How many will fall down? 3. And they are going to fall down because of what? Laughter. And then they are going to laugh about you behind your back. That's what I don't understand about this guy. He carries his faith beyond. Do you understand? We are all Christians. We know we are all Christians. We have to take this thing step by step. Don't be angry. That's their own level of faith. And even you, that was your level of faith until you opened your Bible and read Psalm 2. And you read there that he said, ask of me, and I will give you what? The nations. So really, you have not even stepped up much. What is employing 50 people? Is that the nations? If you build a big school, how many members of staff will you have? Is that the nations? So you have just started and they are laughing. But believe me, that is the gear of faith that we need to step into. That's the gear of faith that believers need to step into. And those things don't come out of desire. That's the point I'm going to make. Not out of personal desire. It comes out of reading. Daniel was in his work one day, but normally he studies the Bible in the evenings. Are you getting my point? Like, assuming it's the evening. And he was reading. Then he got to the book of Jeremiah one day. And he found out that Jeremiah said that Israel will be desolated. They will go into captivity. At the end of 70 years, they will return. One man decided to pray for the redemption of a whole country. One person. One individual. This is what I'm convinced about. 10 years before that, no. Assume he didn't have that book, he would never have prayed that prayer all his life. He would have had the desire. Now, let me just say something. He would have wishfully thought about it. Would have been nice to go back to Israel. This would be nice those days. When we were, moving around the vineyards. But he won't seriously pray about it. Say, Lord, why don't you do something for us? That's not the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith and prayer of desire are two different things. That wouldn't be a prayer of faith. Then one day Daniel was reading. He was reading. And then he suddenly stumbled out. Jeremiah said, this is going to be for 70 years. Then he checked. How old was I when I left there? I was 13. How old am I now? I'm 83. That means 70 years. Now, I want you to notice another thing. Please listen to this. He did not assume, and these things were recorded for our learning. He did not assume, therefore, that this must be the year of what? Deliverance. No. What did he do? He realized that this is time to pray for deliverance. That is what prayer is. He didn't just assume, this is 70 years. So 70 years, we're not going to do what? We're going to sit down. They'll be picking our teeth. One day, deliverance is going to come. It's 70 years. And let us assume he did not pray. Then it is now 73 years. What will be the general opinion? Jeremiah did not know what he was saying. Because if he didn't pray and God raised nobody else to pray, the 70th year will pass and what will happen? Nothing. The 80th year will come, what will happen? Nothing. But what did he know? How did he respond to it? The Holy Spirit allowed him to understand that, listen, this is 70 years. This is the season to demand what God has promised. And let us assume he didn't know that time. He found out in the 80th year. A man like Daniel will understand that, wow, we missed that season. And they will go to the Lord and say, Lord, we are so sorry. We did not know it was 70 years. Can you still do what you wanted to do 10 years ago and do it now? Are we supposed to still be here? Because it's what the Bible calls the season of your visitation. Now, in the time of your visitation, what do? You start praying dangerous prayers. That's what I'm trying to say. Listen, you know what I call dangerous prayers? It's not all my enemies that say I will not prosper. They should not start dying by fire. Let me tell you something about those people. They will die by fire if they really say you will not prosper. What I'm trying to say is that they are not your focus. I don't know whether you are getting my point. They are not the focus. They are not the focus. The focus is in, Lord, and look at Daniel. Daniel didn't pray that all the enemies will die. He said, Lord, it's season for what?
deliverance. And he began to ask for deliverance. Let me give you the word of the Lord. This is your season of multiplication and dominion.
Amen.
What does that mean? Next time you are praying, please stop asking for small things. Some people are still confessing word and believing God for promotion in the office. Let me tell you something. You'll be promoted, amen?
Amen.
No, say amen like you believe it.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this on the Lord's behalf. Whether you ask for promotion or not, you will be promoted.
Amen.
You will be. You will be. Amen. This is what you just need to do. Just keep on doing righteously. Keep on working with with a faithful heart. And one last thing, start praying about serious things. He said, what do you mean? I'll tell you. The Lord Jesus said something. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things will what? Be added. That means that if you are seeking serious things, promotion will come to you. You are getting the catch what I'm trying to say here. It is time to start praying serious prayers. It's time to start praying serious prayers. Listen, start asking God for things that are ridiculous to the ears that have not read the Bible. People that have not read Psalm 2 will think it is crazy. Everybody is saying, Lord, provide a job for me, provide a job for me. You say, Lord, I am asking you in the name of Jesus. As a child of God, I have been blessed to be a blessing. Therefore, I am a job provider. Lord, I am asking you, make me an employer of 50, an employer of 100. I'm an employer of 500 in the name of Jesus. As your word went to Abraham, even when he didn't have a son, you said, a father of many nations I have made you. That is serious prayer point. Are you getting my point? Those are the kind of people that God uses to solve power problem. You are getting what I'm saying? Those are the kind of people that God uses to end medical tourism. Yes. Listen, there is nothing Nigerians are going to look for in India that Nigeria cannot do. This one that our guy is taking treatment abroad. Eh? It should be annoying some people. I don't mean political annoyance. But there's political anger. APC said, what is he now doing? Because actually, you know, God actually said that nobody's going abroad. but man, when his heart is overwhelmed, he went abroad. Don't be angry. Have mercy. What did I say? Have mercy. Look, maybe if you feel the kind of pain he's feeling from the kind of disease I heard he has, you know the kind of pain he's in, you will go to mass on his behalf. You will travel anywhere. Yes, as a matter of fact. So I can imagine when a man who openly makes some statements decides to go against his own word, there's a reason for it. Maybe he wanted to stay at home, and people say, "Oga, if you stay at home, you will die," and we don't want you to die yet. You have something to do for the nation. Maybe. But so what I'm talking about, angry. I'm not talking about political anger. I mean righteous anger. As saying, what is wrong with us? Why can't we? And don't just leave it there. It is now time to pray. Lord, it's my season of multiplication and dominion. And you start asking, Lord, in the name of Jesus, my desire. Because different people focus on different areas. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He empowers some people. Their thoughts are just in education. For some people, their thoughts will just be in healthcare. For some people, their thought is in ministry. For some people, their thought is in politics. God just does that. That's what stirs them up. And sometimes people start praying, say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, this must come to an end. And somebody said, do you know the kind of equipment we're talking about? You need a total of $15 million to start. It's good when you hear such news. You know why? You know there's no way to scheme more than to pray. No, it is good for you to have things like that come up beyond your own energy. Because if you had the strength, you will scheme. You will call 10 people together and say, boy, can you bring 500,000? Can you bring 200,000? We can do it. We can raise 5 million. So when they say it's going to be 5 million, you're happy. If you need to raise the 5 million, you now come. He said, this is 5 million. I said, I meant $5 million. Sorry, that's 5 million naira you have brought. That's the kind of news you need. Do you know why? Then you will know that only God can do it. That's what the Lord does. Sometimes he wants to do things that you have no choice but to give him the glory. Not out of discipline, but out of experience. No, you can give God glory out of experience. Are you getting my point? For example, now you know, out of discipline. For example, you eat food in the morning. You know, normally, you just give God glory out of discipline. I know this, but you know, say you work, oh, you know, say they pay you salary. You know who sold the bread. You know how much you paid. You paid for everything. So as you are eating it, you, out of discipline, give God glory. Like my wife and I, we do. Now tell the children, what do we say? They'll say, thank you, Jesus. Is it, you are eating food? Is it because daddy works? No. Is it because mommy works? No. Is it because, you know, you say all the physical reasons. They say, no, they say, it is because God is good. So let's thank God. Father, we thank you for this food in the name of Jesus Christ. That is giving God glory out of what? Discipline. Because actually, the flesh can explain how it came. Just because you know the word of God. That's why you don't want to fall for the flesh. But there are times in which you will give God glory out of experience. That is, you have looked, there's nowhere else on earth help will come from. Then you now knelt down and you prayed. And then suddenly next day, you got one information. Go to this place, Bank of India Street. They say, they got your proposal. They said they are going to give you, you asked for $2 million. I said, sorry, you need to go and rearrange it. Let it hit $5 million to hit the minimum that we give for such things. And your mouth is, they say, please, sir, can you close your mouth? I said, sorry, sir. At such times, what do? You give God glory out of what? Experience. Out of experience. Out of experience. And listen, I feel strongly about it. That is what God wants to do in some people's lives here. Amen. You are here this evening to hear this message. Amen. You are here this evening to hear this message. Amen. God said, you have prayed, I have heard. Why I have not answered is that your prayer is too small. Open your Bibles. You should read this. You know what I'm saying is not a small thing. And it's not a joke, I'm not fabricating it. It's what the Lord said in His Word. There are times we are asking for things and the Lord is not doing them because He said it is too small. Find something else to ask me for. See, if I read it from the Bible, you'll believe me. Isaiah chapter 49. You are going to believe me when I read it too. Because after now, you will pray serious prayers. And we are going to pray now for the last few minutes that we have. Let me read from verse 1. Where I'm going is further down, but I just like to get some Bible read. Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, and from the body of my mother He named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand He has concealed me. He has also made me a select arrow, and He has hidden me in His quiver. There's another message there. We're not preaching it now. He said to me, verse 3, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will show my glory. Now notice this. But I said, He's made a statement, I replied, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. He said, yes, surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward is with my God. And now, says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him, so that Israel might be gathered to Him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. Verse 6, He says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. This I like to read it. I just supply one word to bring out the sense. He said, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribe of Jacob and to restore the preserved one of Israel alone. I add the word alone to bring out the sense in what he's saying there. He said, I will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. You see what he's saying here? That is, Isaiah was saying, with all his preaching and his praying, he was limiting his expectation to what? The nation of Israel alone, to the tribes of Jacob. And God said, that is too what? It is too small a thing. That is not where I'm going. That is too small a thing for me to do. He said, I will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. If you look at the way it is, the people that are actually getting saved first are the people at the ends of the earth. And Israel is the one that is coming last, according to what Paul said in the book of Romans. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? That is, if a man limited his prayer to the nation of Israel alone,
you will have seen nothing, no result. Which was what Paul did. Paul started his ministry. His focus was on the nation of Israel. They rejected him and rejected him until he decided to shake his hands free. He said, henceforth, I go to what? I get to the Gentiles alone. And then he had results that's resounding till today. Many people have been rejected and rejected at every place where they drop an application. And now you know why. You're not getting what I'm saying here? Why God said, look, I'll go and give this boy a job in an oil company, he'll be happy. Why? Because he has a lot of money. They are paying him heavy salary on a monthly basis. So they will continue to reject until he changes his prayer point. Who has been rejected here? No, don't put up your hand. I'm giving you the word of the Lord. The reason for the rejection is simply because the word of God says it is too small a thing, the thing you are asking for. He said, but maybe I'll start from there. Say, God, let me decide that one. You ask for the big thing. Are you getting my point? And then I will put you into the small place that you can be building yourself up. I've seen people who are in those places which look big outside, but they said, this is not where God planned for me to be. I cannot stay here till I'm an old man. And literally, I have brethren who have walked out of oil company jobs to go and found their own companies. I have two in mind as I'm speaking with you. I just decided that, no, this one is enough. At this, you know, the kind of jobs we are giving, offering, sowing seed to get. They got up one day, wrote a resignation, and dropped it. Say, if I stay here, there's a cap that my life will have. I don't want that cap. I hope you're getting what I'm going to say here. He said here, it is too small a thing. What God was saying to Isaiah is this. Listen, your prayer point is not enough. I have made you rejected so that you will switch your gear and start asking for great things. Remember, I began this by explaining something. The word of God gives us what? Desires. Most human desires are formed out of normal, me too, I want to buy a car. Me too, I want to do this one. Me too, I want to do that. But God says, no. That is why I'm not answering many people. I don't like the things they are asking for. Let's use Hannah as an example again. Because Hannah connected with what God wanted her life to be. How many children depending I have? I'm not very sure, but definitely there were at least four. There were boys and there were girls. Okay, so definitely four, maybe five, maybe six. But what's the name of the first one? Yeah, man of God, you should know. What's the name of the first one? Pastor Murphy, what's the name of that, the second one? That one that, you should know now. That one that caused the quarrel that second time that... Do you know the name of any one of them? Who has ever bought a Bible and has not read the name Samuel? Are you getting what I'm going to say? It is not possible for you to be a Christian and you don't know the name Samuel. In fact, you have a friend that's Samuel. I personally have many friends that are Samuels. Samuels that I can call on my phone now, there are quite a number of them. Why? Because it was too small a thing to be having children to compete with Penina. Do you get what I'm going to say here? Listen, when next you are rejected, you should know why you are being rejected. So because they've applied in five places and they've been rejected, you know what they say? You know how to interpret the events in your life. They'll say that there is a curse in our family. We never get a job. If it's somebody like me, I say, this is not mine, I'm going to another one. And if everybody keeps rejecting, I say, I'm tired of applying. Ron Kenolio, that's how he was applying to. He applied and applied, and they kept on rejecting. So finally he said to the Lord, no problem. Since he wanted to sing, he wanted to get a music contract. Of course he didn't get it. So one day he told the Lord, all right, fine, I'm not writing anybody again. So I will play for you until you have heard me. Maybe you gave me the gift. He entered church, he played and sang until he was tired and he fell on the floor. And I said, after that, I'm not talking to anybody again. But God had sent word to Domwe. And one day while he was there, Domwe came for the service. At the end of the day, he said, I'm so and so person, here's my card. We'd like you to pray about recording an album with us. Ron Kamali said, that's one thing I never had to pray about. He said, I never had to pray about it. And of course, now we are talking about Ron Kamali in Nigeria. We don't have to talk. I mean, many times we go to church, the song that they are singing is a song that he wrote. That's after he had been rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected.
Listen, if you have been rejected, not because you are cursed. It's because you are not asking for big things. Many people that God will give jobs, they will ask for big things, then God will give them a job so that they can go and learn to do the big thing. I hope you are getting my point here. Many people, the job they are asking for, God said, this is this boy's cap. That's where his life will end. One day he will be MD. And he will never make it to be MD anyway, because there are many people competing. And the one that appointed MD is not him. 30 years in that company, and he will build a house. Oh, I hope you know that. Oh, you will build a house. His children will go to school, I know. He will even go abroad for a few holidays, but his potential will never be released. He will be working for Dangote when he's supposed to be another Dangote. Are you getting my point? He'll be working for MTN when I wanted him to build another MTN. I hope you're getting my point. That is it wrong to get the job? No, I didn't say it was wrong. I'm saying it is wrong to limit your asking to that. Ask for something great and then let him by himself take you to what? The steps. So the prayer of a believer, ignited from scripture, is ask of me and I will give you what? The nations as your inheritance. The ends of the earth as what? Your possession. Why have you not answered me all this? Why? He said it's too small a thing what you've been asking for. I'm walking towards a place you don't even have your eyes on it. I hope you're getting my point here. That is what I mean when I talk about praying according to the will of God. Praying according to God's will, like I said, there is nothing that you can ever imagine or think about that God has not yet spoken about. Many of our imaginations are shallow. They are inferior to what he wants to do. One man read his Bible and prayed a whole nation out of captivity. Let me add this, then we'll start praying so we can close. Oh, Satan, he knows how to make people busy so that they can't do what they are supposed to do. What does he do? He gets us busy with commentary and condemnation. What do I mean? Let me just say something. There are some people that God will have to judge them. And I'm not angry. Not that I'm warning. Did you hear what I said? I'm not angry. What am I doing? I'm giving a word of warning. You see, when we're reading that Psalm 37 just now, we analyze some things that lead to some areas. These are the things that frustrate a man, a woman later in life. Economically, I'm talking about it now. When as a young man, young woman, you prophesy negatively into the atmosphere, so much, all those negative prophecies don't return void. They are accomplished. So if they cannot accomplish in the society, they are accomplished in your life. This country is not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. You say it long enough. Then when some people have prayed and it goes somewhere, it's not going anywhere. Say, what do we now do now? They will now go back to who? Sin. No, you know, have you not gone to church before? If you have, father. Back to who? Thank you very much. They will now go back to sender. And the man will be 50-something, will be 60, will be struggling. He won't know why. It's a divine principle. Everything the Lord heard him say in his ears, that's what he's doing to him now. His words have gone back to sender. Let me warn you, young man, young woman, if you don't have anything to say, shut up. If you don't have anything to say, what do you do? Shut up. If you don't have any prophetic word to say, shut up. Because every word you say has power. When you keep on saying, this country is not going anywhere, there's nothing for anybody, the words will come back. The unfortunate thing about life is that when it starts coming back, you start blaming it because you won't know where it began from. You will build a company, it will not go anywhere. You will invest money, it will not go anywhere. So power in this country, I don't know. There's nothing. Health industry, when you finish talking, then one day you buy a machine. And then one other people have prayed and power has become constant. God said, Kai, what do I do to this boy? Give him high voltage. You install your machine on the power that other people prayed into existence. One spirit will just go, high voltage, boom, fry something imported from Germany. Say, I said it, nothing good can happen in this country. Say, yes, you said it. We are confirming what you said. That's why, listen, don't sow. When you talk about seed sowing, people think sow a seed is money. Money in itself, I keep on saying, is not a seed. It's what is inside the heart when you are giving out the money as a seed. If I bring out money
putting an offering back and say, Lord, that money will bring me back a hundredfold return. That's not a seed. That's a waste. Why? It is what is inside the heart. It's selfishness. The real seed are spiritual traits. If I bring money, what is that money for? Say, Lord, this gospel must be preached. That is real seed. These people, they must eat. That's the real seed. These people must be honored. That's the real seed. In the same manner, those spiritual traits, when you open your mouth and you release, you are sowing into your own destiny. You are sowing into your destiny. That's what I'm making. And one day, if you sow what is negative, one day it's coming back. And this is a sad side. You won't know what happened, where it began from. Let me now emphasize that so as not to scare people. What I need to emphasize is that you must repent. You must repent. If you don't have anything to say, what do? You keep quiet. You keep quiet. Just leave it. Don't say anything. Because as a matter of fact, there are enough of us praying and good is coming to this land you are standing on.
Amen.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. My prayer today is that those who are listening to me know that God is recruiting. What did I say? He's recruiting. He said, who shall I send? Who shall go for us? And who are the people that I want to send in that area this evening? He said, those who know how to ask for big things. Who their prayer point is not, this year, Lord, I must buy a car. Lord, this year. No. There are the people that will come out and say, he said, this one that innocent is making. They are good. It looks nice, so we can use it for staff fleets now. And the man is striking them. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He said, this one that innocent is making. They are good. 1.8 liter engine. It will be good for the staff pool. Our marketers can use that. And his friends look at him and say, where do you work? Can you see? He's not thinking about, what will I drive? He just said, this one will be good for our staff pool. It will be good. It will be good for our company car pool. It will be very good. And under his breath, he said, Father, you will do it in the name of Jesus. And he said, amen. He looks at the building. Wow, this should be a good headquarters for an international company. This building, they no go here. Maybe it has like 10 floors. It would be a nice headquarters for our international telecom company. Do you have a job yet? Don't worry. I'm planning greater things. I'm asking God for greater things. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? And when he's arguing, look, listen, we can't do this in Nigeria for this price. Indians may be charging it to treat this particular condition. In Nigeria, we should be able to bring that thing down by half of the price. Why? And you stay at home. You don't have to travel and stay in a hotel because you're sick. I ask you, where are you working? I just finished NYC yesterday. And believe me, take this as the word of God for this evening. God is recruiting people who think like that. When they want to pray, that's their prayer point. They are tired of praying for food. They are tired of praying for clothes. They are tired of praying for things that they need. They are saying, here I am, send me. Let's rise to our feet. That's the first prayer point. Say, Lord, here I am, send me. Begin to pray. Say, Lord, here I am, send me. He has dropped, as I was speaking, he was dropping something in your heart. 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 You know, I'm a preacher. So when I'm watching TV sometimes, when I see cameras, see people recording messages. And I know the price of some of those cameras. The cameras you see, they say one is $12,000. I'm not afraid. I asked for it. I asked the Lord for it. I asked the Lord for things, greater things than I have ever personally experienced. I'm a preacher. So ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm asking you, and you will give me the nations as my inheritance. The ends of the earth as my... That is real prayer. Brethren, that is real prayer. That is real prayer. That is real prayer. Say, Lord, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. That is real prayer. That is real prayer. Enough of praying for jobs. You've been praying for 2 years. God heard you the first day. But he said, if I answer that prayer, you will cap yourself in that particular position. And that is what I don't want. It is too small a thing. It was too small what you were asking for. It was too small what you were asking for. So it appeared as if I wasn't answering. Because what you were asking for was too small. If you take your eyes away from the thing that is too small and put them, it's just the word. It's just the word you are praying. You are praying God's word. You are praying God's word, not your personal desires. You are praying God's word, not your own personal desires. Say, Lord, I ask you for the nations of the earth in the name of Jesus. He said, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. The ends of the earth as your own possession. He was speaking to the Lord Jesus and you are part of him. You are part of him. You are part of him. Ask him this evening. Ask him this evening. Not just now, but let it be your thinking process. No wonder Jesus said that, look, don't worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and wherewithal you shall be clothed. And he was talking about prayer time. So these are the things that the Gentiles seek. He said, one way you want to pray, ask of me. There are things that are prayer points that the Lord has commanded. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Ask of me. The very ends of the earth as your possession. He said to Isaiah, it is too small a thing. What you're asking for is too small. It's too small. It is too small. What you're asking me for is too small. It's too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel alone. He said, I will also make you a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Say, Lord, let your salvation walking through me reach to the ends of the earth. Make me a light to the nations. That's the prayer you should pray. Say, Lord, make me a light to the nations. If I'm a preacher, make me a light. Let my words be a light to the nations. I'm a businessman. Lord, let me create jobs, not only in my local government or where I'm living now, but to all the corners of this nation. And let me be a force to develop the rest of Africa. The comments you hear about black Africans can be very annoying, but they are true. Physically speaking, at least. But God said, I need redeemers. I need redeemers. I need lights for those nations. Say, Lord, make me a light. Make me a light to the nations. Make me a light to the nations. So that your salvation may reach the ends of the earth by my hands. Everybody, pray that prayer. Use those words. I'm giving you scripture. I said, we're not praying desires here. We are praying the word of God. Say, Lord, it has been too small what I've been asking for. I've been asking you for a job. I need a new house. I need to move to a bigger flat. That has been my prayer point. Lord, I repent of such prayer points. I repent of them. Now, this is my prayer point. I am asking you, make me a light to the nations. You say you are the light of the earth, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Make me a light to the nations, as it is written, so that your salvation may reach to the end of the earth, to the corners of this nation, to the corners of Africa, and indeed the ends of the earth. Lord, through me, build something in this land that will bless people at the other extreme of the earth. Make me a light, a light, a light, a light, a light to the nations. That is the prayer point of believers. So, enough of praying for food, for drink, I need a new job, I need promotion in the office. Say, Lord, make me one that promotes people. Make me one that promotes people. Make me one that promotes people. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm a blessing. Begin to declare God, say, I am a blessing. I have been blessed, I am a blessing. I have been blessed, I'm a blessing. I'm not only being fed, I feed people. I have been blessed, so I'll be a blessing. Lord, make me a light. I am a light to the nations. I spread your salvation to the ends of the earth. Say, Lord, don't only give me money. Don't only give me money. Give me the ability to give. Make me a giver indeed. I receive that ministry of your hands. There's a ministry called the giving ministry. A kind of ministry at only 10, 12, 15 people. We sponsor a ministry that is spending ₦1 billion every month. And the pastor never comes to take an offering. He never comes to beg. Why? Because he that giveth. That's what Paul said. There is he that giveth. Say, Lord, I receive that ministry. I receive my ministry. I receive my ministry. Lord, I'm not looking for healing. Make me a healer. Make me a healer. I have been healed already. In Christ Jesus, I've been healed. But I'm asking you, recruit me into that healing ministry. Make me a healer. Make me a healer indeed. Say, in the name of Jesus, fill my hands with the anointing. Fill my hands with the anointing. Fill my hands with the anointing. Paul said, desire these gifts. Desire spiritual gifts as a preacher. Say, Lord, let my words bring healing to people. When I speak your word, let it bring healing to people. Say, in the name of Jesus, make me a light to the nations. Say, Lord, make me a light to the nations. Make me a light to the nations. Make me a light to the nations. So that I receive it from you. The nations as my inheritance. The ends of the earth as my possession.
Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Let us give him thanks. Take a few minutes and thank him. Say, Lord, I thank you because in Christ Jesus, you have made me an able minister. That's what it means to be a minister. Say, Lord, thank you. In Christ Jesus, I have been made an able minister. In Christ Jesus, I have been made an able minister. Say, Lord, in Christ Jesus, I have been made an able minister of the new covenant. Thank you, Lord, because you have made me a light to the nations. Thank you, Lord, because I'm the salt of the earth. I'm a blessing. Say, Lord, I thank you. I give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Our Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Thank you. Our own personal needs, they have been met.
Amen.
Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
All my needs are met.
All my needs are met.
All my needs are supplied.
All my needs are supplied.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
You make all grace abound towards me.
You make all grace abound towards
me. Say, Lord, I have all sufficiency in all things. And I abound to every good work. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you. Just thank God for a minute that your own needs have been met. Say, Lord, I thank you because I've been healed. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for today. You are so good. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.